As is always the case, it is such a pleasure to be up here sharing the wonderful truths that are found in the Scriptures. This morning, I want to start our lesson in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 with a question. As a Christian, has your life changed? Has everything become new? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is very similar to Genesis chapter 1. God did all of the creating. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He made the earth. He made the animals. He created Adam and Eve in his image and after his likeness, giving us a body that is fearfully and marvelously made. And then God says, be fruitful, subdue the earth, take dominion. They didn't do their part. There was a fellowship between God and man in the Garden of Eden that they woefully squandered and fell short of. Unfortunately, the same thing is true with some Christians today. God has done his work. Once again, as in the initial creation, God sent his Son, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He died on the cross. He devised the gospel plan of salvation. He put the whole armor of God, and he put all sorts of powerful forces into the Scriptures so that we could become a new creation. Some do, and some don't, because it's a fellowship, and we have to do our part. The word if clearly presents a condition. If anyone is in Christ. So if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God did that for us. Now, whatever it is that we understand that God did for us when we entered Christ, that's been done. All believers in God and all disciples of Jesus should be intensely interested. What does it mean to be in Christ? The term is used about 130, 150 times in the New Testament. What does it mean? What is the method by which we enter? That's not the only verse in the Scriptures that talks about this new creation. We are his workmanship. Now, let's remember, and I'll do this in just a moment, but in chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead because you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, and you were by nature children of wrath. Those are the old things that Paul said have passed away. We were dead in our transgressions. We were children of wrath. The wrath of God abided upon us. But we passed from that. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works which God afore prepared that we should walk in. When we entered Christ, clearly we became God's workmanship, his product. The Greek word there has the idea of that which is made by hand or art or craft. We are God's product. We are the results of what God wanted us to be. Now, once again, that is opportunity. That's prospect. But it's what God has done for us. As I say, Adam and Eve woefully squandered what God gave them and us in the material creation. And sadly, many Christians who are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus have never reached the level that they had the potential to become. And I think we all need to look in the mirror, and I think we all need to reflect on whether we have done as much as we could do with this wonderful and amazing blessing and opportunity that God has given to us. We can't make ourselves His product. Just as in the first creation, we couldn't make our bodies fearfully and wonderfully made. We couldn't make our souls in the image and likeness of God. We could not create the heavens and the earth. But God did all of that for us, and now we have an opportunity. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Now, I believe we all know that we are baptized into Christ. This is one of the most terrible victories that Satan has accomplished, is to create an attitude in our religious world today that baptism is somehow unimportant. It's become a battleground. It is incredible to me, after we look at all of the things God has said about baptism, that there would be any disciple, anyone who calls themselves a disciple, who would deny it. But listen to Paul. Do you not know? And sadly, many do not, but I hope we do. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? I preached this sermon on Thursday night to India. I was getting these people ready because they were going to be baptized. And so we had a mini gospel meeting. And through the power of signal, you can talk to somebody on the other side of the world and you can see them. I do this in Malawi as well. I'm able to talk to them and actually have them see me and me see them. But I talked to them about the fact that we were baptized into His death, because that's where the blood is. The blood of Jesus Christ is His death. The life is in the blood. He poured out His soul unto death. When we were baptized into His death, we contacted the blood of Christ. You can't come into contact with the blood of Christ and be bought with the blood of Christ if you can't enter into His death. So don't you know, Paul tells the Romans, that as many as or every one of us who has been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Not only His death, but our death. We had to die too. We had to die. The old man had to be crucified so that we could become, or as he says here, walk in newness of life. As God raised Christ from the dead, even so we also walk in newness of life. Are we starting to see? He said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, new things come. So there's a part of us that needs to go away, and there's a part of us that needs to come. And it is all tied to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus' death on the cross. So as Paul says to the Galatians, as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. When we obey the gospel, we hear the word of God and we believe it. And that trust and that confidence goes deep. It goes into the very heart of our soul. And we are then willing to accept and understand what sin is, feel the godly sorrow, feel the remorse, feel the desire to change and to become a different person, and so we repent. And then, as we come face to face with the greatness of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe Jesus is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But only baptism can put us into Christ. We do have to believe, we do have to repent, we do have to confess, but only in the water of baptism can we die with Him, be buried with Him, come into contact with the blood of Christ, and be raised out of that death. Because as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Now, the secondary reason I put these verses up here is because we talked about being in Christ. Well, being in Christ is also being in the one body. The church is the body. You see, Paul has laid the foundation. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit has laid the foundation. In chapter 1, verse 3 of Ephesians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Then he continues talking about the relationship we have with Christ. In chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he says he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. So when we are by one Spirit baptized into the one body, we are in Christ. We have a fellowship with him. We have a relationship with him now. We are the members of his body. And so, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? You know, it looks like I got the same slide twice there. Oh, that's right. That's why I put that there. As many of us as. Have you? Some believe and confess and repent and enter into a body, not the one body, but they enter into a body. But they're never baptized. Only after, by one Spirit, we are baptized into one body, that's when we put on Christ. And that's when the old passes and the new comes. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Buried with him in baptism, in which, in other words, while you're still under the water, you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So when I go into the water of baptism, I have faith that God raised him from the dead. And over time, I begin to realize and understand he raised me from the dead as well. Verse 13, "You being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We were created in Christ Jesus and are God's workmanship because being dead in our trespasses, we are now made alive together with him, and God has forgiven all trespasses. Now, this takes us back to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. When does that eternal life begin? The moment we come up out of the water of baptism, we are eternal. Now, we can squander that, but we will never die. Jesus told Martha and Mary, if you believe, you will never die. You will never see death. So when we are buried with him in baptism, we are also raised with him. So the old, dead in trespasses, passes away, and the new, being made alive in Christ or being made alive together with him, that's what comes. Now again, this is by grace. This is like being in the Garden of Eden. They didn't do anything to deserve to be there. But they were there, and God says, you can build on this now. We can have a fellowship. You can eat of all the trees of the knowledge, or excuse me, all the trees in the garden, just not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They couldn't do that. So, do we understand this vocabulary? These are important vocabulary words. In Christ, that's the church. That's the one body. That's the fellowship that we have with Jesus. We are one in him. We are a new creation. Because whatever we had done to ourselves when we sinned is removed when we're baptized. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. That's the same death. You remember what God told Adam and Eve? In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. One that day. It wasn't talking about the physical death. It was talking about a spiritual death. So we become a new creation. The old passes away and new things come. Because created in Christ Jesus, potential. The potential is there. God didn't do the rest, though. Old things will not pass away. If the day after I come up out of the water of baptism, like a pig, I go back to the mire, or like the dog, I go back to the vomit. Old things pass away when I make them pass away. Now, God does the heavy part because I can't get rid of what's in the past. But the future is now mine. And so these are critical things for us to think about. So the things that God has done is beyond our control, just like the material creation, just like the body that I have, the soul that I have, the emotions. I don't have anything to do with that. God gave those to me, but I'm in fellowship with Him now. And so God made us alive. He forgave us. He put us in Christ. We simply complied with the conditions, and God did everything else. Now, the details of what God did are found back in chapter. Remember, we read verse 10. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You were dead in the trespasses and sins. Statement of fact. Absolute truth. We don't know what it means. I can't tell the difference between me and that guy over there who isn't baptized. But he's dead and I'm alive. I don't know. God sees the difference. Paul said in the book of Colossians, you're seen as lights in the world. We are lights in the world. God sees us as little specks of light. The other people, He doesn't see that. You were dead, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's what we were. Those are the old things that passed away. But God, verse 4, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Christ is alive. We come up out of the water of baptism alive. You say, well, I don't know what that means. Well, it doesn't matter whether we know what it means or not. It means that God saw me as dead. Now He sees me as alive. And of course, only God could do this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. It is the power in the gospel. When Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, you were born again of incorruptible seed. He was talking about the New Testament. He was talking about the gospel. The gospel is the incorruptible seed capable of bringing us back to salvation. So we believe God, and then God does the rest. As I said earlier, God is the only one who could make us alive again. He's the only one who can put us in Christ. He was the only one who could create the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the earth and all the works that are therein, the man and the woman in His image and likeness with the ability to reproduce. What an amazing opportunity God has given. Truly, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God's gift of Jesus. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Without that, we could believe to our heart's content. Like Paul said, I could give my body to be burned. And I could know all mysteries. And he could just goes on and on. And so think again about the illustration of the Garden of Eden. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God gave us dominion, just like He does in the gospel. Most people don't understand that when God put Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, it was with the intent that they could be in his image and his likeness, and that they could go on to do all the things that we've seen our own world do in the last 100 years. Our creative powers that God gave to us, with the power supplies that he created for us, with the metal and the physics and the chemistry that he created for us, I and you and all of us can be creating like God did. We created a computer. We created a telephone. We created a cell phone. We created, and on we could go. That's what God wanted. Can you imagine what it would have been like if we could have lived here forever? But that's just an illustration. It's not really important. We need to take dominion. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. There's the old things and the new things. Old things have passed away, the lust of the flesh. New things have come, the will of God. We have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard of these, or to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Now, these are just illustrative. There's all kinds of sins. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the lust of the flesh. In Romans chapter 1, he talks about what happens after God gives people up to their depraved mind. In the book of Colossians, he talks about setting your mind on things above and not on the earth. The old things pass away when I take dominion. Have we thought about that? They don't just pass away. We are the same. I was so shocked when I came up out of the water of baptism that I was still saying bad words. I kind of figured that it'd all go away. Well, it didn't go away. It doesn't go away. Self-control is just that. God won't give it to you. You have to do it yourself. That's why it's self-control. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now, why does he even have to say this? Because old things passed away and all things became new. Well, potentially they did. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You know, Peter talked about this in 1 Peter chapter 1. You were redeemed from that aimless manner of life handed down from your fathers. I didn't come up out of the water learning how to be a good husband. I was the same husband my father was, because that's all I knew. I was darkened in my understanding. But through the years, because of Christ's example, I have learned that I was alienated from the life of God because of ignorance and because of blindness. And now I take Ephesians chapter 5 as my template for a husband-wife relationship and not my mom and dad or not anybody else's mom and dad. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him as the truth is in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 22. Because verse 22 is the perfect commentary on 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Old things pass away, all things become new. You put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It's still in there. Paul talked about how the lust can drag us back into things that we don't want to have any part of. So now we have a fellowship. God did the heavy lifting in the garden, in the initial creation. He did all the heavy lifting. We just found ourselves in the garden with opportunities galore because he gave them to us. Same thing is true in the spiritual realm. I urge you by the mercies of God, because without that mercy, without God doing all of the things necessary to make the gospel the power of God unto salvation, even presenting our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice wouldn't help us much. Do not be conformed to this world. Old things have to pass away. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. New things must come. How are we doing? If we were to go before God right now and God were to ask you, what have you done with the talents that I gave you, the opportunities that I gave you through the gospel to fix yourself? Because that's really what the gospel is designed to do. We come up out of the water of baptism and our soul has been restored, but we are still broken vessels. And that's why we learn from Isaiah that a bruised reed he won't break and a smoking flax he won't quench, because as we see in the Apostle Peter, Jesus called him a rock, but it took him a long time to get there. He had the potential, but it took him a while. So does it with we, or so does it with us. Be transformed by the renewing. There's that word new again. We keep reading it. Walk in newness of life. Old things pass away, new things come. By the renewing of your mind, we are transformed. As Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as we look into the image of God in the scriptures, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So we have this fellowship with God. He makes it possible for us to make old things pass away and new things to come. We stop conforming and we start transforming. But if you're waiting for God, you're waiting in vain. He's given you the tools. When God told Noah to build the ark, Noah didn't just sit back and wait for God to build the ark. He built the ark. He used God's plans, but there was a fellowship. God said, here's what I need you to do. He did it. Same thing with Moses. There was a fellowship. You go to Egypt, you bring the people out, I'll help you. When you get here, we'll go from there. So we have a part in this fellowship. And so this transformation is not passive. You present your body because that is your spiritual service. Do you see God in there at all? Do you see God acting in there? He made it possible. He gave the potential. But he put it in our hands. You must be transformed. You must renew your mind. So this is a fellowship with God in which God does his part, we do our part. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Once again, that's the spiritual counterpart to Genesis chapter 1. Seeing his divine power gave us all things in the material creation, and a soul, and a spirit, and the ability to reproduce, and the ability, and on we could go. His divine power has also granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he has granted to us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, if you take what happens to us after we come up out of the water of baptism, this is it. You may become partakers of the divine nature. You have escaped from the corruption in the world that is by lust. So now, here's our part in the fellowship. For this very cause, adding on your part, all diligence, in your faith supply virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. That's our part. These are the new things that can come. Now, they won't come unless you add on your part. They won't come unless you supply them, unless you learn what they are and you begin working with them. Now, once you have them, you have some new things. If these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful. Verse 9, he that lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near. Verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Old things pass away, new things come, but we have to pick them up. Old things pass away, new things come, but we have to add on our part. Verse 11, thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What Peter and what the Holy Spirit through Peter is revealing here is that God has done everything. All we have to do is our part, which is a very small part. So new things have to come. If you were raised with Christ, and he told us back in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, that this was done in baptism, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Now, God can't do that for me. I have to do that. Things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. But the things that are not seen, we have to have the ability to see them through the eyes of faith. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Old things on earth, new things above in heaven. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We sang that song a few moments ago, face to face. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly wait for a Savior who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Or as John put it in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, when we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So, the process of renewal. You have put off the old man with his deeds. You have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So here we are, getting back to the image and likeness of God through the Scriptures. The Scriptures bring us back into the image and likeness of God if we roll up our sleeves, if we do our part. And when these new things have truly come, we do not lose heart, Paul said. I don't know how old Paul was at that point in his life. The 2 Corinthians letter was written around 58, 59 A.D. He dies in 66, 65 A.D. He says, I'm Paul, the aged one. So he's got to be reaching the point. In 5 years, he's going to be the aged one. So his body is decaying. Our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. This is the new things that come by the eyes of faith. For our light affliction, which is but for the moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, because those are the old things. But we look at the things which are not seen. Those are the new things. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So we started the lesson, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, new things have come. Then we saw in Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We saw in Romans 6 and Colossians 2 that was baptism. That we die with him, we're made alive with him, we're crucified with him, and we are raised with him. Though we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive together with him. So now the new things can come. Potential, limitless. Opportunities that we make. And on the judgment day, well done, good and faithful servant, will be based on how quickly we left the old things behind and how quickly we put the new things on. Brethren, we have a song that we're going to sing here in just a moment. It's number 338. And that song speaks of Jesus as the great physician because he has the ability. Remember he told those people in Laodicea, I counsel you to buy eye salve for me so you can see and white garments so you can be clothed. Jesus can give us everything we need. As we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience recognizing that something in this sermon created a discord in our heart, we didn't feel right about it, something's not right, I'm not doing what I need to do, this is a good opportunity for you to reflect on that. And if you need to repent to God, a good opportunity and a good time to do it. If there's something public that you'd like to have confessed, we give you that opportunity. Or if you'd like to be baptized and put on Christ, if we can help you in any way, would you please come while we together stand and sing?